college basketball analyst for ESPN and SEC Network. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We are excited here. I have admitted on the air that yesterday I got caught up. We had Scott Corley on, Belmont AD, and I kind of went over the top, pounding the table that Belmont was going to win tonight. And I admitted on the air in the first segment, I woke up and I don't have buyer's remorse, but I've got to build myself back up again because now the nerves are kicking in. I don't know if the Bruins get it done in Dayton or not. What do you think?
Well, they have Rick Bird, right? He made the trip.
He did. Yep, mm-hmm. He's there.
Yeah, they're going to be fine. That guy, he would win in any league, any conference out there. And I was actually on Coach K and Beyond last week with Coach Krzyzewski on his radio show. We talked about Rick, and Coach K said the same thing, that guy just, he really can coach ball. And Coach K said, I watch Rick's teams and think to myself sometimes, I wish I could coach like that. So if you're a Belmont fan, that's about as high of a praise as you can get from a coaching aspect. And, you know, there's great value in knowing who your team is this time of the year, and his guys do. They know how to play. They know how to score. They got guys that could play at any level. And everybody's going to go into their game day with, I'm not sure how I feel about my team, but that's just normal. That's just how you're going to feel. And what I like about Rick is such a quick turnaround from finding out Sunday night that you're in the first four, and then you get on a plane Monday morning, and all of a sudden, boom, you're playing Tuesday. And coaching is a big part of this game. And Rick's going to be dialed in and keep it simple for his kids and try not to give them too much, because it's more about how Belmont plays tonight as much as anything.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun tonight as Belmont tries to knock down that door, get their first ever NCAA tournament win tonight against Temple. Now, you were here all last week. Great job working the SEC tournament. We're excited here. Everything we think went fantastic here in the arena we're sitting in right now. I want to ask you this, Jimmy. We always tell teams to be playing the correct way down the end of the regular season and into conference tournament play and beyond. You're supposed to be playing the right brand of ball. Well, that's exactly what Auburn is doing. They are at their best at the right time, yet they cut down the nets here. They get a 5 seed. They're going out to Salt Lake City. Am I wrong? But I was a little surprised that Auburn got a 5 seed. They've been doing everything that you're supposed to do, winning toward the end of your regular season. They win the conference tournament, yet they're a 5 seed. Did you agree with that, or were you a little confused like me?
No, I agreed with it, because there's 4 regions. So if you're a 5 seed, that means the committee looks at you as a top 20 team, if my Arkansas math degree holds true. Actually, I wasn't a math major, but I'm pretty sure that's how it would equate, right?
Yeah. Even so, my Kentucky education says you're right.
Yeah, but yeah, my Arkansas education tells me that means they're viewed as a top 20 team, and that's about where they are. You know, they were, I don't know what the final poll was, but they didn't get into that top 25 poll until the last couple of weeks. They got hot at the right time. I thought they caught a break, because if you're in the building like I was, that Kentucky-Tennessee game was a Final Four, semifinal / national championship type feel, and both teams completely had to empty their tank in every area in that ball game, and Tennessee won. I knew it was going to be a hard turnaround for them less than 24 hours later, and taking nothing away from Auburn. They may have won the game in any other situation because of how well they're playing, but it's not an easy trip now for Auburn to go out west like they are to take on a New Mexico State team that's just as hot as they are. They've won 8 or 9 in a row now themselves, and maybe more than that. I just know that Auburn and New Mexico State in the round of 64 are the two teams that have won at least 8 games, and no other 64 matchup has that. So that won't be an easy game for Auburn, but it won't be an easy game for New Mexico State either, because Auburn is, like you said, man, they're playing as well as anybody in the country right now with their style. The problem is they can also have a game where they go 5 for 28 from the 3-point line, they get bounced. So I don't, you know, there's a difference in getting to the Final Four and winning. Like, I think Auburn's one of the 20, 25 teams that could win 4 games and get there. I just don't believe they can win 6 and win it all. I think there's only about 6 or 8 teams that can do that. Kentucky and Tennessee are 2 of those 8.
Interesting. I realized Tennessee, and we had been talking about it going into that stretch at the end of their regular season. Like, we're really going to know what this Volunteers team is about because their final eight games or so are really, really difficult. A couple against Kentucky, some tricky, tricky road games with LSU and Auburn. And, you know, I think they went, 6-4 in their final 10. What do you make of Tennessee, their makeup, since you saw them here and they went all the way until Sunday, and obviously you can't hold Sunday against them on gauging the rest of the way, but do they have what it takes to go really, really far, or is there a little cause for concern on your end?
No, they're a real team. They're the real deal, and they had a phenomenal year. I thought they should have been a one seed regardless of losing that game on Sunday. The selection committee, they waited till the end of that game to see if it was going to be Gonzaga or Tennessee. I would have put Tennessee there just because if it's that close, like if you're literally sitting there on Selection Sunday and you're the selection committee waiting for the result of the Tennessee-Auburn game to decide is it Tennessee or Gonzaga, then you completely missed on the common sense index, which Tennessee beat Gonzaga head-to-head. Just put Tennessee there in the one seed and move on. But they didn't do it. But it tells you the respect that Tennessee has nationally, you know, they're a real team, and all of them have areas where they're not as good as you'd like to be as a coach. Tennessee has a couple of those, but they're built to win the thing as much of anybody else. The problem is they're in the same bracket with Virginia, and I think Tennessee and Virginia are very, very similar. Like if they get to that matchup, and the winner of that goes to the Final Four, then you're probably the odds-on favorite to win the national championship. Duke is the favorite in most people's eyes, but if Duke wins it, it will be the worst three-point shooting team in the history of the tournament to cut down the nets. I just think Duke's going to have one of those games where they shoot true to form, which is about 27-28% from the three-point line. They could get knocked out, and Tennessee, Virginia, even North Carolina, Gonzaga, Kentucky, they're just a little bit more consistent. They don't have the pop and the power of Duke. Like when them dudes are rolling, they don't look like Duke, but they look like themselves more consistently than Duke looks like themselves.
When you talk about the makeup of this Tennessee Volunteers team, you obviously think, first of all, you have Grant Williams, a two-time player, SEC Player of the Year. You got the big man, Admiral Schofield. But really a point guard that has been underrated and not talked about as much in college basketball this season is Jordan Bone. How much does he have to be consistent in this tournament to give them a chance to go deep?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's no more pressure on him than any other point guard on one of those top 18. Like, they have to play well. It all starts with them. Like, you watch college football and college basketball, just answer the simple question, how good is the guy with the ball? Mm-hmm. And in football, it's the quarterback, and in basketball, it's the point guard. Like, how good is your guy that has the ball? And Jordan Bone is outstanding. I've said it the last 3 or 4 weeks on our games on ESPN. If I had to pick a point guard to try to get me to the national championship game, I'm taking Jordan Bone over Cassius Winston at Michigan State, John Morant kid at Murray State.
Wow.
He's a little wild and too much of a gambler's mentality for me to say, hey, let's go win a national championship. He's going to be a phenomenal pro. Like, he'll be a phenomenal pro, but I'm just saying, what am I going to get on my point guard for six straight games? I'm taking Jordan Bone, and I think he'll hold up.
When we talk about the matchup with Colgate, yes, we all know now the toothpaste jokes have been rolling with the Colgate. But with this matchup,
I got a stare yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, it didn't go over well.
It didn't go over well.
Yeah, Willie just kind of looked at me like, really?
I mean,
come on, I got to try.
You got to put it out there.
Yeah.
This is a team that can, guess what they do? They can shoot the three. They're good beyond the arc. And this is a team that, you know, could disrupt Tennessee a little bit, considering the fact that that's what Auburn does to them. And it's not a good matchup.
Well, you're right. No, you're exactly right. They're a good three-point shooting club. They just don't have the speed, team speed that Auburn has. No one is faster in college ball than Auburn in terms of their team speed. That's what sets up their three-point shooting as much as anything, is how fast they get the ball down the floor, how fast they move the ball at all five spots. And they're just a hard team to cover. So it's going to be a little different look. Colgate can shoot three. I looked at their percentages, but they play a little different style. It's not going to be that warp speed that Tennessee had to face against Auburn, but those teams are dangerous. You know, if you're going to pull off an upset in this tournament and you're from a smaller conference, you have to have the ability to score and make threes.
Yep.
Because you're not going to have a big guy inside that can dominate a power conference team. So the recipe is there. But, you know, Tennessee is a strong defensive team. I haven't looked at their numbers this week. I know they've been in the top 30 all season long in offensive and defensive efficiency for the most part. So they'll be dialed in. And that Tennessee's been tested now. When you go through that last, I think you guys talked about it there, the last seven or eight games that they have at Ole Miss, at LSU, Kentucky twice, once on a neutral floor, and just all the hard games they've had, they're ready. They're ready. And every school out there, every fan base out there is going to see the, oh, no, this is how we could lose, and the coaching staff does too. But I love Tennessee. I think they're a Sweet 16, Elite 8 team, and then they're just one win away from that Final Four, and they're deserving of it. It's an easy team for Volunteer fans to cheer for. I know they're just what they stand for and how they handle themselves. The post-game interview with Laura Rutledge after the Kentucky win was magical. It kind of spoke to who they really are and their core values of things. So I'm pulling for all those SEC teams, and certainly Tennessee's one of those.
Does Florida beat Nevada? And can Ooh. If your answer is yes, can they beat Michigan?
Well, they can beat both of those teams. It's not going to be easy. I think Florida's the only team in the SEC in the first round that's not a favorite. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's the only one that they're not favored to win their opening round game. The thing about Nevada is they're up against a Florida defense that's really, really good. Like, that's going to travel. They're going to lock in and defend, and they are more than capable of holding Nevada to 60 points. So Nevada has to understand how good that Florida defense is. And Nevada could win the game by 15, 18 points because they got some future pros and size, and they can really shoot it. But they shoot some crazy shots. Like, their shot selection at times is wild. And if they get in that game, they take some bad shots early, and Florida's defending, that's a problem for Nevada because Florida's really good on that end of the floor. So if Nevada's not careful and they come in freewheeling and taking bad shots, and then they're having to take some hard guarded shots against that good Florida defense, you can look up at the end of that game and Florida advances like in a 57 to 56 ball game. Absolutely.
Yeah, Nevada was one of those feel-good stories out of Nashville here last year when they came back. They were way down to Texas, came all the way back, and ended up getting to the Sweet 16, and it all started right here in Nashville. Jimmy, always appreciate the visit, always, and we'll do it again here soon. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks,
Jimmy. Yeah, let's do it again. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too. That is Jimmy Dykes, college basketball analyst for ESPN and SEC Network.